Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Christian life is a life of waiting. Ever since the angels on Ascension Day proclaimed to Jesus' disciples that Jesus would one day return in the same way they saw him go up into heaven, Christians have been looking up to the sky, waiting for that day when Jesus will come down with the clouds, eagerly awaiting the arrival of the bridegroom. For the arrival of Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us into death, so that we might live forever at his side, forgiven, cleansed of our sins, and filled with joy, like a bride who is whisked away by her husband, by her bridegroom, to begin their married life together. But he didn't say when he was coming, except for the general, "Behold, I am coming soon." Generation after generation after generation of Christians have spent their entire lifetimes waiting for that soon coming of Christ. And we too have now reached the end of another church year cycle, and still the bridegroom hasn't come. We've spent another year watching and waiting, and now we're about to begin another year of the same. Maybe this will be the year of his coming, or maybe it won't. The key then is to be prepared for Christ's arrival at any moment, even today, and prepared for his arrival if he delays a long time, if you have to wait another 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 80 years. You may even reach the end of your earthly life and fall asleep in Christ, and he still won't have returned. Are you prepared for that? The five foolish virgins in Jesus' parable were prepared for a swift arrival of the bridegroom, but not for a delayed arrival. They were excited to meet him when they first went out to wait, just like the other five. They went out with their lamps burning brightly. They waited a while. They waited until they fell asleep. The night grew long. They fell asleep and didn't check the oil in their lamps as the flame consumed it little by little. It never even struck them that they hadn't thought to bring any extra supply of oil along with them. They grew unconcerned about their lamps, and so when they fell asleep, they didn't even notice that they were beginning to dim and the flame was beginning to die. The five wise virgins were prepared for a swift or a delayed arrival of the bridegroom. They knew he could come at any moment, or that he could be delayed until midnight. And this is what made them wise. Knowing that he could be delayed, they took oil seriously. They took their supply seriously. They thought about it ahead of time. They calculated how much they might need and made their plans accordingly, so that no matter when the bridegroom arrived, they would be sure to have working lamps so that they could go out to meet him and join him in the procession to the wedding hall. Now, as the 10 virgins went out together to wait, do you suppose that the 5 wise virgins were somehow concealing their vessels of oil underneath robes so that the others wouldn't see? Well, of course not. The foolish ones must have seen that their 5 companions had taken along extra oil. That's why they finally asked for it as they were roused from their sleep at midnight, and yet still they foolishly assumed that they wouldn't need an extra supply of oil. They may have even thought that their wise companions were really the foolish ones for taking such unnecessary precautions and for carrying around the extra weight. What a waste of time, money, and effort. But when the midnight cry came, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him," then it was clear who the wise ones were and who the foolish. But then it was too late for the foolish virgins to do anything about it. Too late to get more oil. Too late to relight their lamps. Too late to meet the procession. They tried to come late to the wedding. "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." "Watch, therefore," Jesus says, "for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Will you listen to Jesus' warning again this year? Will you take it seriously today? Who are the foolish virgins who waited for the bridegroom with no extra oil for their lamps, who are finally shut out of the wedding hall forever? They are Christians. Christians. Not the false prophets or the false teachers, not the wolves in sheep's clothing who go around telling lies in God's name, not the ones leading God's people astray into false belief and other shame and vice. They are Christians who start out believing in Christ. They are baptized. They are at first eager for Christ to come, and they may spend years going to church with the flame of faith burning in their hearts with zeal for the Lord and His Word. But time eats away at their zeal and their devotion. They begin to realize that this Christian journey through life is a long journey, a long wait. There are many obstacles along the way, including the sin that dwells inside of each of us that keeps struggling to get out, to indulge itself, to master us, to quench the fire of faith. They see their non-Christian friends and their nominal Christian friends enjoying life in this world, prospering in the world, having fun with all sorts of things, drinking and sex outside of marriage, playing games and making money. They see their counterparts in false teaching churches rocking to the band and giving touching testimonials and enjoying all sorts of fun programs and activities, while the others are there out in the cold with nothing but lamps in their hands, waiting, waiting, waiting for the bridegroom who never seems to appear. Where's the excitement? Where's the emotion? Where are the results? They feel that the right teaching, simple gospel preaching, sacrament administering church has grown stagnant, stale, boring, irrelevant. Always the same thing. The same message, always the same boring old Jesus. They lose interest, they fall asleep, and the flame on their lamp flickers and dies as the oil runs out. The flame dies, the oil runs out. Zeal for the Lord dies, faith runs out, because they took it for granted. They assumed, well, I'm a believer now. I'll always be a believer, no matter what, no matter whether I actually think about my sins and mourn over them or not, no matter whether I keep going to church and listening and concentrating while I'm at church or not, No matter whether I pray earnestly to God for help and strength as I wait for Christ's coming or not. But faith is not self-sustaining. God must sustain it, and God has decreed that He will sustain it by means of His Word, as it is read, preached, heard, meditated upon, poured with water, eaten and drunk with bread and wine, and inwardly digested. God sustains faith in answer to our earnest prayers for help in this Christian life of watching and waiting, of being prepared for Christ's coming at any moment, or after decades and decades of doing the same things over and over again. The five wise virgins in the parable didn't do anything amazing or earth-shattering. They just made sure they had a supply of oil handy. So too, wise Christians don't do anything amazing or earth-shattering. They just take Jesus seriously. And so they also take their God-given faith seriously. They don't take it for granted. They consider God's commandments and how they continually fall short of God's righteous standard. They seek God's mercy in Christ, and they know Christ to be a merciful Savior who was crucified for our sins and who wants even sinners like us to flee to Him for refuge, for forgiveness. They know that repentance is not a one-time early in your life event, but a daily state in which Christians live, turning to Christ for forgiveness, and turning away from sin and from loveless behavior and from shameful words and deeds. And because they know that they need Christ every day, these wise Christians make hearing God's word a regular part of their life, always hearing, always learning, always growing, always feeding on Christ's body and blood. They pray. They attend services at church every chance they get, and they gladly attend Bible class too if they're at all able. They take God's commandments seriously so that they're all abounding more and more in works of love and obedience, always fighting against sin and temptation, always growing more and more into the image of Christ. They live a life of self-denial, daily taking up their cross and following Christ. And they do all this because they know that they are not worthy to enter with the bridegroom or to have His love. And yet He loves them and wants to spend eternity with them. And so their life, their true life, is not here on earth. It's hidden with Christ. And so their whole earthly life is a matter of waiting for the life that is truly life to appear. Saints of God, we are in this Christian church for the long haul, however long it may be. Be wise. Learn wisdom from Jesus. The Christian life is not glamorous, it's not exciting, but it is fulfilling and it is wise. Because we know the bridegroom is coming and we know who He is. The Lord Jesus Christ, who has loved us with an undying love and who has conquered death for us and appointed us not to wrath, but to inherit a kingdom. When He comes, it will be well for those who are still found trusting in Him, still found waiting and watching. Then we will accompany Him into the wedding hall, and the doors will be shut. Then the eternal celebration will begin. May we be found worthy to enter, only for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom with the Father and the Holy Spirit be glory, honor, and praise in the church forever and ever. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.